gentlemen, and everything in between for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week I've got Asa Gray, the five-star man.
All five.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimble. I gave you the five-star man title that time.
You did.
I really need an actual nickname, and I realized this when Hunter, in the infamous group chat, gave everybody their nicknames, and gave Shannon the Phoenix. And then, like, I was just co-owner of PZ85, and it's like, alright, I need something. Because that's almost awkward.
Right.
But I'm not good at coming up with nicknames, particularly for myself. I would probably come up with something really dumb like the Phoenix.
Well, you don't want to make your own nickname.
Right, yeah, somebody's got to give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, imagine if I came up with the five-star man for myself.
That would have been crazy. And I know I'm throwing shots at Shannon. I just, the Phoenix makes me laugh, and, like, I cannot get out of my head. I said it the first time he claimed that nickname on the show. It just, like, it makes me think of Frank Reynolds. He's like, ooh, the Mantis, I like that. From now on, you'll all call me the Mantis.
Dr. Toboggan. So they made the joke.
Yeah, he's Phoenix Toboggan.
Phoenix Toboggan.
But anyway, we don't get political on this show ever on Nerd Up. We try to steer clear of it for the most part. Sometimes comic books we do just because that's the nature of comic books. But I wanted to take just like a minute or two at the very beginning of this show. And I'm springing this on Asa, and I apologize a little bit. But I feel like I'm sure it's not a surprise to anybody that we're 100% for Black Lives Matter movement. We very much support them and suggest that all of you do the same. Look into ways to help. I know I've donated the, itch.io,
mm-hmm.
that special going. So you can pay, like, I paid $10, and I think at this point the count is up to over 1,200 games that you can get for donating to itch.io. I highly recommend, you know, at least looking into that. If, you know, that's the only way you can help, that's perfectly cool. It goes to a good cause. And again, over 1,000 games.
I don't know if it's still up.
No. That would be unfortunate that I just talked about that.
Yeah, I think it ended today.
No. Oh, man.
No, okay, so there are 8 hours left.
8 hours left. Okay, so for you real early listeners.
Yeah, if you're listening to this Monday night, there is still time.
To jump in this deal.
Yeah, it's right now it's 1,704 items. It is a normal price of $9,300 that you can get for $5 minimum.
Yeah, and I threw $20 at it because I didn't remember if it was 10 minimum or not. I know I doubled the minimum.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's worthwhile, and I very much recommend doing at least that or something similar. Look into places you can donate if you have the money to spare it. If not, the one big thing that I keep seeing that I've been trying to do, like, don't back away from the hard and uncomfortable conversations. If I can have a minor disagreement with a woman in my HR, like, while I'm waiting to take care of something in her office about the Black Lives Matter movement, you can talk to Cousin Greg about it. I don't know if your cousin's name is... I don't know if you have a racist cousin named Greg, whoever you are that's listening, but you need to talk to them about their racism. All right. On to actual nerdy stuff. We're definitely going to be talking about the PlayStation 5. That's going to happen. We're going to try to get as much time as we can for that. But to start with, one of the things that we absolutely have to talk about, because it's something very near and dear to my heart and very much Ace's, Bill and Ted... Oh, God.
Sir.
Bill and Ted Face the Music got a trailer.
It did. And I'm going to be honest with you. I only just watched it.
Oh, no.
Because I knew we were talking about it, and I thought I could get away with it, because, like, I really wanted to not see anything of it. Like, I was kind of wanting to...
Yeah, you wanted to go in blind.
Yeah, a little bit. But I was like, we're going to talk about it, and I don't want to just have that be my contribution to the discussion. So I watched it real quick. I'm on board.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I like the idea that it's, they, they haven't written the song yet, but they're middle-aged.
Yes.
So they should have united the world by now, and they're just like, what have you been doing?
And now they're gonna time travel to try and find the song after they've written it.
It's the only downfall. That was the only thing that I was bummed about, was it's like, oh, man. Which I know, I get it. Bill and Ted is a time travel, like, story at heart.
Yeah, but to say, you can't be mad about time travel in Bill and Ted.
I was hoping maybe they were gonna do something different. What would you have to do different, Asa? I genuinely don't know. Just something.
I'm super on board for the premise, though. It's super cool. They haven't written the song. They need to write the song. And I imagine the world is going to crap because they haven't done it yet.
Right.
I'm on board. I'm really excited about this movie. I can't wait for it to hit. Stupid fly on my monitor. There we go. All right. So, yeah, that's coming. We also got Unsolved Mysteries reboot, which I didn't know was happening until Lindsay sent it to the Nerd News chat. Did you know about this?
No, honestly, like, so I remember liking Unsolved Mysteries as a kid, or I remember, like, watching it and being, like, thought it was super cool. And then in, I want to say, like, high school, it ended up on, like, Lifetime, or, like, the reruns were on Lifetime. And I don't know if it was because they, like, picked and choose what episodes they were airing, but it was way less about paranormal stuff and way more about, like, help us find this killer, which is arguably a much more important show. But for as, like,
it kind of removes the fun of it.
Yeah, yeah, someone who's looking for entertainment, I was just like, I want to see, like, the ghost ones, because this was still, like, I was super into, like, the paranormal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, yeah, show me alien footage, show me, like, where's the haunted stuff, like, that's what I wanted to watch.
I want to see the stuff about people spontaneously combusting.
Yeah, exactly. Before we learned it was they were just falling asleep with cigarettes in their mouths. and so yep. It's just like, I don't know, this doesn't really, I didn't even read the link, so I don't know if they're going to focus on one more than the other, or if they're going to just do, you know, I do hope they continue to do the terrible reenactments.
Same. Because those were classic for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had to do the dramatic reenactments, and oh man. Or, since they've got the Netflix budget, it would also be kind of cool to see them do, like, legitimately good reenactments.
I don't know why, but Drunk History just popped into my head.
Honestly never watched any of it.
It's a lot of fun. The real quick exposure is, or the elevator pitch is, someone gets drunk while retelling their favorite historical story. So, and then while they're telling the story, it's also being reenacted. However, the hook is, the reenactors are not acting. They are just lip-syncing to the drunk person telling the story. So you have, like, Michael Cera as Benjamin Franklin or whatever, except it's some other comedian or actor telling the story. And it's like, and then Benjamin Franklin says, but, and it's Michael Cera having to do all of those. Like, dressed as the character, and it's fun. But no, I just meant, like, when I say Drunk History, I don't mean, like, drunk Unsolved Mysteries. Although, now that I've said that out loud,
I'd watch it.
Just have, like, famous people, like, get, you know, like you said, a Netflix budget style for the reenactments.
Mm-hmm. Just doing it drunkenly.
Mm-hmm.
Unsolved Mysteries, though, I did look, just to confirm, because I thought I'd seen it earlier, because I looked through the show listing, and they all definitely seem to be paranormal and otherwise. Like, there's a couple of UFO stories, there's a few ghost stories in there, so it'll be back to form, not the lifestyle version as much.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully, like, that's gonna be good. That's actually coming July 1st on Netflix, so real soon.
Oh, wow.
Because, Asa, did you know it was June?
I am aware.
Time is so messed up right now.
I'm especially aware that it is June 15th today.
Yep. Which means that it's the day before June 16th.
It is.
June 16th. Happy early birthday, Asa!
Oh, thanks.
Since, we're not doing a show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not. They're doing the D&D Plays show, but nothing from us. So, yeah, Asa has a birthday tomorrow. So somebody reach out and tell him happy birthday on those social media things that I don't think exist anymore.
No, I have, like, I've left him up so far.
Oh, there you go.
Like, I'll probably, once, it's probably going to be about another month or so. It's just, we talked about it on the pre-show a little bit of just, I don't think Mark Zuckerberg and Jack are making the world a better place. So I kind of want to stop using those.
No, yeah, that's very true. So either way, hit Ace up on one of those platforms. Make sure you wish him a happy birthday tomorrow. Or at least go to the Podzilla Facebook page and wish him a happy birthday there. That'd be really cool. Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Wonder Woman 1984 has a release date now. A new one. So that one's been postponed for a while thanks to the Rona. And right now they're trying to push out for October 2nd, 2020. Right before what will likely be the third wave of COVID-19.
Can't call them multiple waves if it never really went down.
Yeah. I mean, it was starting to go down in some places.
Yeah. I mean, New Zealand seems to have nailed it.
New Zealand's still on hard quarantine, aren't they?
No, they're done. Because there's like 3 weeks of no new cases.
Oh, nice.
Because they did the hard quarantine. There was a Cyanide and Happiness comic, I think it was, of, we did it, we successfully flattened the curve, but it's a picture of the curve just going straight up. It's just like, oh, that's not funny.
Oh, yeah, that's funny in the way that everything on Cyanide and Happiness is funny.
Yeah, that one hurts too much to be real funny.
So yeah, October 2nd, 2020 is when we're going to be getting that back, because a lot of movie theaters are reopening this month. Like, yeah. They got the green light from, I read California is going to be open this month, though a lot of theaters are choosing to remain closed. The state of Missouri is going to be open this month. I think June 17th is when our governor gave the okay, something like that.
Which is still just 2 days from now.
Right, yeah, no, it's still insane, because we're still, you know, dead middle of pandemic time. Like, anyway, that's not important. But
it's very important. It's just not relevant to the show.
There you go, that's a better way of putting it. That's a way better way of putting it.
I got you, boo.
I appreciate it. So yeah, movie theaters are opening back up this month across the country. They desperately need to, because a lot of them are already filing for bankruptcy, like... I read Alamo House in Arizona is filing for bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the movie theaters are in, you know, dire straits, because obviously people can't go watch movies right now in a movie theater. Like, everything about the movie theater is the exact opposite of what you should be doing during a pandemic.
Pretty much.
Other than watching a movie. You could do that during the pandemic in the comfort of your own home. October 2nd, 2020, though. So hopefully everything will be clear.
And that, works out pretty well, because isn't that... That's right around Mandy's birthday, isn't it?
October 8th is Mandy's birthday.
Yeah, so that's...
Yep. And then it's also somewhere near Dalton's birthday, but nobody really cares about him, so...
Dalton doesn't have a birthday. I took it away from him.
And now he's not on the show to defend himself, because he had to take care of a cell phone or something like that. I don't know. Dalton had stuff going on, so he couldn't make it tonight. But, yeah, his birthday's also right around there. I know he's a few days, I think, before Mandy. I want to say he's October 5th or 6th. I feel bad, honestly, for not knowing. I'm sorry, Dalton.
He's screaming into his phone right now.
No, I don't think he's screaming. I think he's just like, really, Jesse? You just, like, threw out Mandy's birthday? You know Ace's birthday? I'm October 5th or something. Really?
I think it's the 3rd. I think it's earlier than that. Like, it's super early in October.
The 3rd also, like, sounds really accurate to me. Like, that that sounds right.
So happy birthday, Dalton. Your birthday is now October 3rd.
No matter what it was before, it's now October irrelevant. 3rd.
Quit living in the past.
Asa took it away from you. He gave it back to you. Just be thankful. Yeah, it's near welcome. Where it was, at least. But Dalton also still hasn't seen the first Wonder Woman, so this movie probably doesn't mean a whole lot to him. Though it is a prequel. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's a prequel to Justice League. That wasn't a sync issue, folks. That was me realizing as Ace was about to correct me that it's absolutely not a prequel.
It's 1984, and it's after World War One. Like,
I was thinking the Justice League movie is modern day, and for some reason I was like, yep, Wonder Woman was modern day. No, it wasn't. It was absolutely not that. Okay, now that we've managed to push through that. Comic books, this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. They're still open for curbside. If you need to get some comic books, you can still get that done. Same with some coffee. Just give them a call. They'll bring it right out to you. Starting off with big news for Lindsay that I'm sure she's going to be picking up at Villainous Grounds. Marvel is celebrating the 20th anniversary of the X-Men Evolution cartoon by releasing the tie-in series in one collection. Before, it was available in two trade paperbacks, though those have been out of print for years. And they also, they've been available digitally since 2018, but now they're going to be available once again in print in one solid collection celebrating the 20th anniversary. Which, I know, it's not the 90s X-Men cartoon, but I still enjoyed it. Not as much as Lindsay did, but I still enjoyed it. Al Ewing has announced he's working on a new series, We Only Find Them When They're Dead. It's going to be through Boom Comic Books, or Boom Studios, and it's going to be creator-owned with Simone DeMeo on art. I don't know if you read the description that I put down at the bottom of the notes there, Asa, but I'm going to go ahead and read this out for everybody, because this sounds awesome. We Only Find Them When They're Dead follows the crew of one of the galaxy's many fortune-seeking autopsy ships, interstellar spaceships that harvest the tissue, organs, and other resources from the corpses of dead gods found floating in space. Centering on Captain Malik and his crew, the story follows the intrepid harvesters as they seek a one-of-a-kind prize, a still-living god.
Dope.
Right? And Al Ewing, like, that dude has single-handedly, like, resurrected the Hulk in comic books.
I mean, he was awesome in Space Jam.
Hey, son. Why?
Because I'm funny.
So Al Ewing, he wrote the, if anybody hasn't read it, the Immortal Hulk series that's been going with Marvel. It's actually coming up on the last, I guess, volume of it, like the last issue that he's going to be doing. Immortal Hulk has been consistently in like the top selling books for Marvel because Al Ewing is just crushing it.
It's, I mean, okay, so, but for some context, because it very much is not a, if you're a comic book Hulk fan, book, just go and grab this, because you may not like it. It is very well done, but it is super dark, it is super morbid.
Yeah, it's very much a, we've talked about it before, it's a horror book.
Yeah,
like, with Cronenbergian body horror nastiness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so good.
It really, yeah, it really is. I just recently realized that I've been, like, Marvel Unlimited has gotten so much money from me without me actually using it. So I'm excited that there's, like, probably at least 6 new issues up on Unlimited that I can read.
Yeah, Marvel Unlimited has also gotten, because I haven't read Marvel Unlimited since before Corona. So, and I've been paying for it this entire time.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah, well, you know. So I probably got a few issues there I can read, too. I'm probably a little bit behind at this point. But yeah, it's so good. It's so incredibly good. And this series sounds amazing.
It does.
Like, the premise just sounds so cool.
Like Firefly wanting to go kill a god.
Right?
I mean, I assume they want to kill the living god. Like, they're not trying to befriend it or get wishes granted. Which, I mean, maybe, but...
Because, I mean, if you think about it, like, if they're harvesting the dead gods, I mean, decomposition happens. I'm sure there's stuff like, you know, has gone away from the body. If they kill the living god, they'll have, you know, everything at their disposal. Because presumably certain parts are more valuable than others. I don't know. There's so much about this world that I need to know. And I'm excited to find out about it. And Simone DeMeo is really good, too. So, like, it's going to look real pretty. and it's going to be beautifully written, and I'm super stoked about it. So that's, I don't think we have a release date yet. I want to say, like, I saw something that said September, but I haven't seen an official date. Like, I didn't write one down, so maybe I didn't actually see an official date. There's just a lot of stuff coming in September, so that may be what I'm thinking. So keep an eye out for that. Once there is an official date, I will definitely update you guys, because I'm super excited about this title, and I'm definitely going to grab it. Make sure you talk to your local comic shop, regardless of whether or not we have the official date. They'll still be able to put you on the list, and as soon as they can get it ordered for you, they'll do it. All right. We got a new Iron Man series coming. September 2020, Christopher Cantwell, and I didn't look into this. Apparently they are like an artist group, CAFU. Have you ever heard of these people, Lisa?
Doesn't sound familiar.
So I meant to, this is one of those things, I got busy when I was doing this, and I didn't actually, because I don't know if this is a person or a group, kind of like, what's the Japanese artist that's done a bunch of stuff for Marvel lately that's a group of people?
I don't know.
Gurihiro, I think? Now I'm looking up two things.
Yeah,
could be. Hey, that's it, Gurihiro. Yeah. Anyway, it's an illustrator unit. It's an illustration team. But CAFU, yeah, it's also a team of people. So, yeah, and they're currently working for Marvel, Valiant, and DC.
Nifty.
Anywho, their art's really good, though. Like, it's real pretty. So, this looks kind of neat, and I guess Dan Slott's now off of Iron Man. I think this is just a straight up Iron Man series. I don't think this is Iron Man subtitled of anything. It's just
gonna be Tony Stark.
Yeah, it's gonna be Tony Stark. They did a little like trailer on it. It's about Tony Stark getting back to his roots as Iron Man. Apparently, he's fallen on some tough times.
That's super weird that Dan Slott would already be off of Iron Man. It feels right. Like, because, like, I mean, granted, we're used to a Spider-Man run, which was 60 years.
And he only had, like, 2 years on Iron Man, so... Yeah.
Is he still doing Fantastic Four?
Yeah, as of right now, anyway.
Okay.
I think. Might not be after Empire, I don't know. That's just Iron Man and Fantastic Four and stuff like that is something that I don't particularly keep up with. I know Dalton is weirdly keeping up with Fantastic Four, so he could have some input if he were on here.
This is, like, Marvel is just, like, I mean, really, comics in general, I have completely fallen off of, like, news and what's going on and who's on what, because we haven't been going to Villainous every month, or every other week.
Right.
And so even just, like, seeing new books for sale, like, I'd be like, oh, what's this? Who's this? What's this going on? I would absorb, like, or I would look stuff up, but since we haven't been making those trips, I have just been, like, I got nothing.
Yeah, I didn't even know, like, a lot of... Because there were still a few Marvel comic books coming during the quarantine. Not very many, but, you know, a smattering here and there. So had we not started getting emails from Villainous Grounds, I wouldn't have even known that I had new comic books to pick up.
Yep.
So, yeah, because I've honestly, like, it's been kind of an afterthought because I know most of the stuff has been pushed. So, yeah. But either way, new Iron Man series. It looks interesting. The suit is actually designed by Alex Ross. He's obviously not the artist for the book, but yeah, he designed the suit for the book, which is kind of neat. So, if you're an Iron Man fan, check it out, especially if you haven't been a huge fan of what Dan Slott's been doing, because this looks like it's going to be more classic Iron Man stuff. Hellblazer: Rise and Fall. It's going to be a 3-issue miniseries for DC's Black Label. The important thing about this, I know we have a couple of Hellblazer fans out there, Trevor Camp in particular, who I just straight texted this to as soon as I saw it because I knew he'd be excited about it.
I saw this headline and I almost texted you to text him. Because I am aware of what Tom Taylor and Tom King are doing because I follow both of them on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, that's really the only place I've gotten any sort of comic news.
Yeah, I follow a bunch of comic creatives on Twitter, and yeah, Tom Taylor being one of them, because Tom Taylor right now might be my favorite comic book writer.
That's fair.
Like, Tom Taylor is just, he's an absolute genius. So when I saw, like, Hellblazer, Tom Taylor, I texted Trevor, I was like, hey dog, listen. They announced a new Hellblazer. It's being written by Tom Taylor, who is currently my favorite writer. Make sure, get that stuff going. So yeah, he's going to head to VG ASAP. Make sure that's on a pull list. And also to clear out his box, because apparently he hadn't been there in a while. And then Derek Robertson, who I don't know anything about, is the artist. And that's going to, the first issue of it's going to launch in September. So if you're excited about that, if you're a Hellblazer fan, if you want to get on that, make sure that you give your local comic shop a call. Especially like DC, a lot of shops are going to be doing ordering no more than what's on the pull list because of the next bit of news here. DC has officially split with Diamond. You've heard us talk about Diamond Distributing before. They are the devil. They have a complete monopoly on comic book distribution, and they do a terrible job for the most part. If you ever like go to a comic shop and you just ask that comic shop owner, what are your experiences? Like, sum up Diamond in three words or less. Bad is going to be one of those words.
Yeah, especially if it's a smaller shop.
Yeah. I'm sure, like, huge shops have a little bit better interaction with them because they, you know, Diamond makes more money that way. But, yeah, smaller shops, I have never heard of anybody having good experiences with Diamond. Even, like, going up to St. Louis, you know, they have three pretty big shops in St. Louis that I like to check out anytime I go there. And even those guys are just like, oh, yeah, Diamond, I get it. Like, and I've seen pictures of them, like, you know, they get, like, their books are still tore up when they get them. So anyway,
or
now that
I'm done books or someone else's books.
Right, like any number of problems. Now that I'm done trashing Diamond here, I'll tell you why this is not necessarily a good thing. See, DC is officially split with Diamond. They're using Lunar, I think, is the company they set up. Mm-hmm. Actually, right here in Missouri. The company they set up for distributing comics. Many shops are upset about it because, starting off, just the tip of the iceberg of why this is not great for local shops, they are now going to be releasing their books on Tuesdays instead of Wednesdays. New Comic Book Day is Wednesday, and has been for decades. For longer than I've been alive, New Comic Book Day has been Wednesday. So DC is going to start releasing their books on Tuesday. Marvel, just as a side note, had a hilarious response to that. They are releasing an entire line of comic books with a variant cover saying, on sale Wednesday. And it's very funny to me. It's extremely petty. But outside of that, so one thing that you'll know about, like you may not know about comic book shops, almost every comic shop you go to is comic books and something else. And that's not just because they think, you know, it's a similar audience or anything. It is, and that helps attract business. But the profit margin on comic books is already pretty slim. Like, the shops realistically do not make a ton of money on comic books, which is why a lot of shops you'll see even do the thing that we love Villainous Grounds for not doing, where if they hear about a particular book that's going to be worth extra, they just automatically upcharge for it. Or if it's something that's going to be hard to find, yeah, then they'll upcharge for it and that kind of stuff. Because, like I said, profit, razor thin margins on that. And having to include a second distributor is going to increase their shipping costs from Diamond, because now they are possibly having or more their order from Diamond, so they're losing their bulk discount from Diamond Distributing. And then you've also got having to pay shipping costs to this new company, which, to their credit, they are apparently really taking care of the books. So, like, instead of whenever you get a shipment from Diamond, they come in a box, they're loose in the box, and they're strapped together with, like, the plastic, like, basically giant zip ties. They're often over-tightened, so they destroy books, and on top of that, they're in a loose box, so they're rattling around and they're getting destroyed. At this point, I would be surprised if, even in a small shop like Villainous Grounds, they weren't in the thousands of books that they've had to ship back since they opened up. So, like, these new guys are taking way better care of the books that they're shipping, but price-wise, after shipping and everything, apparently it is, according to a lot of comic shops, I haven't talked to our friends at Villainous Grounds about this yet, but according to a lot of other shops, they are, it's more like buying from a competitor, like Midtown Comics or something along those lines, than it is buying from an actual distributor like Diamond. So they're paying more money for DC books in both shipping and like cost of the book, on top of having to now pay more money in shipping on all their Marvel, Boom, Valiant, etc. books that they're ordering from everyone else that they're getting through Diamond. So yeah, that's the situation we're in. So for the future, if you want a DC book, I highly recommend making sure it's on your pull list, because a lot of comic book shops are probably not going to be ordering overstock for it, because they literally can't afford to.
Especially if it's like a smaller title.
Yeah, a smaller title, and also especially if your store is a smaller store. So, yeah. All right, now, on to the moment you've all been waiting for. This next portion of our podcast, brought to you by our friends at Press Start to Join. Find all their content, including their past shows, at ps2jshow.com. Make sure you hit those guys up. I'm sure they had something to say about that itch.io bundle, because they do have segments where you can get free games, and realistically, $5 for over 1,000 games, which, again, I'm sorry that those of you that aren't listening to this in the next 8 hours are now hearing it in past tense and are not able to get this bundle. But that's a pretty incredible bundle. That's basically free. We got the PS5 reveal.
Oh.
Hey, so we got to see it. And all
sure
of its
did, Meg.
Hideous behemoth glory.
And honestly, like, I know you hate it. I know you
I
hate
do.
It with a passion. You think it's the worst thing ever.
I don't think it's the worst thing ever. But I think
said,
it's hideous and gigantic.
You said you would trade several human lives just for them to change it. You really went overboard with some of it. But
I don't think I said any of these things.
I'm kind of morbidly into it. Like, I don't think it's a good design. I don't think it's going to fit in with, like, 99% of people's entertainment system. Or
I don't think it's going to fit on 99% of people's entertainment centers. Have you seen the size comparison of this thing?
Yep, because it's even bigger than the OG Xbox One.
Yeah, significantly.
Because, yes, people have taken the length of the disk drive and of the USB port.
Yeah,
and have then tried to, like, go by scale, like, okay, well, if these are this long, then this has to be this many of those, so someone put up a big side-by-side of how tall all the consoles are if you stand them up, and it just looks like the skyline for Cyberpunk.
Because it goes all the way back to, like, the OG Xbox 360, and
yeah.
You get to see all the models of the PS3, all the models of the 360, or I guess two models of the 360, and then the original Xbox One and the Xbox One X.
Pretty much any console you could stand on its side.
And the PlayStation 5 is a solid 3 inches or more taller than the PS3 standing on its side, which was also a colossal console. It's thicker than the PS3. It's so big. Which, like, I know, like, we gave the Xbox Series X crap because, yeah, it is, like, this odd-looking prism. And it's... The Xbox Series X, admittedly, is thicker than the PlayStation 5. Because that bad boy is thick. But the PlayStation 5 is still just so huge.
And at least it's, you know, it's a computer tower. It's
right.
That's all it is. They didn't reinvent the wheel. They didn't feel the need to get weird with it. Whereas Sony apparently did. Sony very much wanted to give that futuristic, that feeling of it being something from the future, with it's the two-tone colors, it's the white and the black, and then it's got
the blue LEDs in it.
Yeah, which, will likely be like the PS4 now that will change color determining, like, you know, power on, rest mode, stuff like that.
Right. And this thing looks like a portal turret had sex with a Netgear router. And this was the offspring.
And it doesn't have to... It also, it's worth mentioning, it doesn't have to be standing up. It can be on its side.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can lay it down flat. And I will say, like, the way... Because I took work off. I left work early. So I could just come home and watch this uninterrupted. Because I'm super excited for it. and from the way it started, it kind of looked like, oh, we're going to get it. But they had all those incredible transitions between each game. And then that final one of it's just, and it kept going, and it's like, oh, they're going to show it. Oh, they're going to show it. And even just seeing it, like, that was such an exciting moment. Like, I really didn't care what it looked like. And I still don't. Because honestly, like, there are going to be so few people who refuse to buy this console because it doesn't look the way it does.
Yeah, no, I don't think that the appearance is necessarily going to be a deterrent. I know, like, there were people like Hunter joked that he wasn't going to get it because it, like, until they released a black one.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's his entertainment center. Like, every system that he has on his entertainment center is black. And it needs to match. So until they release a black one, he's not going to get it. And then they saw Horizon Zero Dawn. He's like, all right, whichever one comes first. Because, yeah, like, spoiler alert, that's going to be the last game that we talk about here. They announced Horizon 2. But, yeah, it's not... I'm not getting it because of how it looks. I'm not getting it because I'm getting a Series X first. And the launch titles, like Spider-Man, I really, really want to play. But I'm just really hoping they give me a special edition Spider-Man console and then I'll pick that up. So I'll probably just end up waiting for the PlayStation 5 and grabbing a special edition whenever they release one that I actually kind of dig. Like, if we get a special edition Cyberpunk system or a special edition Spider-Man system, I'll grab one of those. But, yeah, I'm not going to grab one, like a stock one right away.
I wonder how quickly into the life cycle of, like, the PS4 did we get the first, like, special edition system. Like, how long is that wait going to be?
Destiny was the first one.
Was it? Okay. Oh, yeah, because I had that one.
Yep, because the Destiny was the white system.
Yep.
And then they released the Batman system, and then they released the... what was the next one there? Oh, I guess it was the Destiny 2, or not 2. The Forgotten... Whatever that Forgotten, first... Forgotten or the King. Awakened King or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Something along those lines. It was the first huge expansion. Like, it was for Destiny Year 2.
Mm-hmm.
They released another special edition. The Forsaken King? That sounds right. So they released a special edition console for that one, because that's the one Krista got, and it was really cool looking. It was the white console, but it had all these gold accents and everything on it that looked really cool. So, yeah, and I know
it was just Forsaken.
Oh, it was just the Forsaken? Okay.
Yeah, just Destiny 2 Forsaken.
And then we got Japan had a Metal Gear system. And I remember that one, they got that one pretty early, because Steven was thinking about, since it's not, the PlayStation's not region locked, just your PlayStation account is region locked, which I'm not going to get into that. It's all sorts of weird, but the system itself isn't region locked. So he was thinking about importing the Metal Gear system because he's such a huge Metal Gear fan, but it was going to cost him almost $1,000 for the console that way. Just for the console.
Yeah.
So he decided not to, but.
Which, and speaking of the system, since we're already here, they also announced the all digital version.
Yes.
Which I did not see coming.
I didn't either.
My favorite joke of it was, wow, the Sony announced Project Lockhart before Microsoft did.
Also, it's extremely noteworthy that they did not give a price for either of these consoles.
I knew we weren't getting a price.
Like, I did too, but like showing us like the actual system and then showing us the digital variant of the system and still not giving us a price and all the accessories and everything and still not giving a price.
No, I knew that wasn't going to happen. Like, we probably won't get that until July, maybe even August.
Yeah.
Because they're just Microsoft and Sony are just playing chicken.
Absolutely. That is absolutely what they're doing.
But you know, the digital only version, I can't remember who it was, cause I've just been trying to like see as many like takes and reactions to this as possible. I think it was Greg Miller talking about like, you know, you can afford, cause when Xbox for those Xbox One, there is a digital edition, an all digital edition now, but the price difference is only $50.
Yeah.
He thought it wouldn't be too surprising if Sony took a substantial hit on the systems because they would then make that up on every game that you buy.
Yeah, because you would never be able to do an aftermarket game for it.
Right, you couldn't just go to GameStop. And not only could you not do an aftermarket, you know, you don't have to worry about Target, Walmart, anything. Literally everything you play on that console has to have come from the PlayStation Store.
Yep. And for the longest time, PlayStation was pretty notorious about games not being cheaper than... Like, you could buy a game retail for $10 that was still going for MSRP on the PlayStation Store.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've since fixed that, where frequently the game is, you know, the same price you could find it for at Walmart or Target or whatever, and then they do sales where you can get it even cheaper, as opposed to, I don't remember what the game was, but I think it was, like, it was Battlefront 2, I want to say. Like, after that game had been out for a year, I could buy it, you know, in a store for $10, or it was still $60 on the PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. And I remember I ended up just getting a free trial to the EA Pass or whatever, so that I could have a digital copy for a day, because I wasn't planning on playing it that long. So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy how expensive that stuff gets. I completely lost what that original point was. Yeah, that's absolutely something they could do. They could take the big hit on it because people couldn't loan out their games. People couldn't go pick up vouchers anywhere. Like, the price you pay on the PlayStation Store is how much money they're getting for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I absolutely could see that. I hadn't thought about that at all. I could definitely see them doing that for that reason. Because the Xbox, they really just basically gave you... You got the $50 discount, which, I mean, they probably saved, like, what, $20-$30 on not putting the disc drive in there, if that. So, like, they threw a little extra savings in there for you, but, yeah, it really wasn't worth, like, I say this, like, $50 is nothing, but I feel like if you're dropping, you know, $250, you can probably drop $300 and have the option for a 4K Blu-ray player.
Right.
Because it was the 1S system. And it looked exactly the same, which I will credit it. The no-disc system actually, in my opinion, looks better than the system, the digital system looks better than the regular system.
Because it's just missing the disc slot?
Well, it's not just a disc slot. If you look at it, it actually looks different. Because it doesn't have a hump there.
I'm gonna pull this up here. You keep going.
No, I'm telling you, like, it's symmetrical without the disc drive. You'll see it in a second. Yeah, we'll go ahead and start moving into some games while he looks that up, because we don't have a price yet. I did think that we were gonna get a price once I saw they announced the extra console, then they announced all the accessories and everything else for it. And I'm like, oh, they're about to hit us with some prices. Let's see it. Let's see how much we're gonna pay for this bad boy.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Right? It's symmetrical without the disc drive. So anyway, on to the games, because the games, like, as hideous as I think the system is, and I know I talked about how I'm not going to get the system immediately or anything, but they had a really good showcase for games.
That was so good.
Minus opening up bafflingly with Grand Theft Auto 5.
No. Not opening up with Grand Theft Auto 5. Opening up with the Rockstar logo, and only the Rockstar logo. Which, yes, we are not getting Grand Theft Auto 6 until, like, 2023 at the absolute earliest. I have resigned myself to that. I'm fine with that.
That's extremely optimistic.
But them them starting with just the Rockstar logo, they knew what they were doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think I tweeted it, or I put it in the group chat or something, because going from the Rockstar logo to, hey, guess what? The most successful game of all time is coming to the newest generation of consoles. Then going into what this next announcement was gave me hype whiplash. Because I was like, holy crap, there's no way they're going to do it, right? Oh, they didn't do it. Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. Oh, wow, look what it is. Like, it just, I was so... really? This is what you start with?
Exactly. Yeah, that blew my mind. So I was like, hold up. We're starting with the Grand Theft Auto 5 port?
With a 10-year-old game?
that's what you're coming out of the gate with, this game. And, like, the trailer doesn't look any better. It still looks like a high-end PS3 game in the trailer.
It's like, what are they going to close with, Skyrim?
Honestly, I was legitimately waiting for that.
But don't, like, worry, we've got one more thing.
Yeah, Horizon.
Oh, you're awake. Like, what?
Horizon 2 fades out, the Bethesda Softworks logo picks up, and then Skyrim for the PlayStation 5. Because why not? I was waiting for it. It didn't happen, though. We did get, the Grand Theft Auto 5, and it's not even going to be a launch title. That's the most mind-blowing part of this. This 10-year-old title, they're not going to have a port available at launch.
The only thing that I'm kind of hoping that means is that they're really putting some care into this, and that it is going to look like a next-gen game.
They're not. They're doing.
I know.
They're doing the reason it's being delayed is because they're working on the new online mode that's going to be PlayStation 5 exclusive for 3 months.
Which they're also doing if you play on PS4, every month you play between now and when it launches, you get a million in-game dollars.
Good God.
Which is cool. Like, that's neat. Because, if you already have the game, it's free.
Yeah. So. They're releasing the standalone. They're releasing GTA 5 standalone.
Mm-hmm.
It's free for 3 months on PlayStation 5.
And I also kind of assumed that they had to do a lot of work with, because I don't know if you've spent much time with it, but it seems like the Rockstar Social, whatever, sucks a whole lot, just big time, just big old suck, because you could only transfer your profile one time, and it was meant so you could go from from the PS3 generation to the current generation. And so now that they're going, because there's no way they could have thought that this game was going to have the legs that it does. It's consistently still in the top 10 selling games of the month.
That's mind-boggling.
So they probably didn't realize that, we're going to have to do this again for PS5 and the next Xbox. So that probably is also playing a little bit of a factor, I would think.
Wouldn't surprise me. So, yeah, and now the game that gave Ace of the Whiplash. The next game we got to see, Spider-Man Miles Morales. Holy crap, this looked cool. Hyped for this one.
Especially now that we know what it is.
Right?
After 2 days of speculation and executives saying the wrong thing.
Oh my God. Yeah, like everything from its new DLC to it's just like a reskin, like to it's a completely new game, or it's been all over the place.
The big rumor, or the big thing that was implied from this executive misspeaking, was that there is going to be a PS5 remaster of Spider-Man 2018, and as part of that remaster, this expansion exists. Which then made everybody like, wait, so we're gonna have to pay $60 for a game we just bought 2 years ago to get this new content? But in reality, it is going to be similar to Uncharted The Lost Legacy, in that it was probably originally planned as DLC, ended up being too ambitious, and so they just tacked it. They released it as a standalone at a discounted price. That last part is what happened with Lost Legacy, not a guarantee of what's going to happen with Miles Morales. That easily could be a $60 release that they put out, because look at... what was the big... not really big. It was a PS4 launch title that was beautiful and people loved it, but it was only like 6 hours long. It was like Werewolves, Order 18...
Yeah, Order 1860. Because it was... people didn't love it. People hated it.
Did they? I thought it was pretty well received.
It was a movie. Because I know the game you're talking about. It was...
It's the Order 18 something. 1868, maybe. I don't know. Because I remember it being
1886.
People were complaining about how short it was, and it was a full price release, I'm pretty sure.
It was a $60 game. It had zero replayability, because it was basically which I have nothing against the genre of games. This basically, playing through a movie, it's really cinematic storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of do some stuff in game, but it's a 6 hour game. with zero replay because there's no alternate storylines or anything like that. See, everybody was upset. Like, why is this game $60? It was really pretty. But, yeah. So, it would not surprise me at all for this to hit at $60. I would really appreciate for this to hit at $40. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, I'm going to pay for it. And hopefully
whenever you get your console.
Exactly.
Which by then, it may be a PS Plus game.
Unless, if they announce a collector's edition of it, I'll have it on release day, and then I'll just play it whenever I get the console. Because when it comes to Spider-Man, y'all, I have a problem.
That's true.
I mean, I have the Spider-Man PS4. I bought the collector's edition with it, too.
Did you see the video of someone putting the trailer to What's Up, Danger?
No.
I'll send that to you.
All right.
It's magical.
Because I like that a lot. Anywho, yeah, we got to see a little bit of trailer, but we don't have a whole lot of information on it other than, you know, spoiler, I guess, for the game, or for the Spider-Man game, you meet Miles Morales in it, and he gets bit by a spider and gets his spider powers. It's a very minor subplot to the game, but, yeah, Miles is in it, he gets spider powers by the end of the game. So this game, he's going to have his spider powers, he's got his costume, presumably he's been working with Peter a bit to get some training in. We hear a voiceover of Peter telling him he's got to be a hero. We have no idea what's going on with Peter. Obviously, in the comics, like, Into the Spider-Verse, the movie was pretty accurate with the comic books, sort of anyway. Peter trains up Miles and then ends up dying. Obviously, in Into the Spider-Verse, he didn't get a chance to train him, but they found another way for that. And, yeah, so, like, a lot of people are theorizing that the Peter we just got to know in this other game is gonna die. And I really hope that's not the way they're running with this. At least not yet.
No, there's no way. Because there's still... This is not in place of Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man 2 is still coming. Because there is still more to Peter Parker's story. So I think that, like similar to, like, Lost Legacy was not a Nathan Drake story. This is a... Okay, it's still gonna be in New York. It's still gonna use some of those assets that they have... They've improved and made better with the new console, the new hardware, but I cannot imagine a scenario that they kill off Peter Parker in this.
Yeah, I can't either.
With a full Spider-Man 2 release coming.
One of the theories that I liked a whole lot is that it's going to be like Peter giving up the suit for a minute, mm-hmm. and maybe something to do with the symbiote, and Miles has to help him with that. I like that idea a lot. So
I don't, only because of the, again, kind of spoilers for Spider-Man, but, like, we don't really know anything about any sort of symbiote to the point that I would be happy they use it as a story device here.
I mean, I think it would be cool to set up, like, they could do it in this, and that could set up Venom being the primary antagonist in Spider-Man 2. I think that would be neat. But anyway... So we don't have a whole lot of information other than it's coming holiday this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely getting this year. It's likely that means it's going to be a launch title, but we don't know for sure because the system will almost certainly be holiday this year.
That's what it's currently listed at, is holiday 2020.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll know more when we finally get that info. When Xbox and Sony stop playing chicken with one another and start, like, giving us real details.
We'll probably get the launch dates and the price at the same time. And almost then the dates of when the pre-orders will go live.
Also almost certainly. All right. The next game we got, Gran Turismo 7. Obviously, if it wasn't clear, Spider-Man is going to be a PlayStation exclusive. So a Gran Turismo.
Mm-hmm.
Gran Turismo 7, I mean, it looked real pretty. I'm not big into racing sims.
So. Yeah, this is way out of my wheelhouse. But yeah, it looked really good. They showed, they actually, and to their credit for this one of the things that I don't think people are really giving Sony the credit that they deserve for, a significant amount of gameplay in these trailers.
A lot of gameplay in a lot of these trailers, including the next one. We got Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Oh, baby.
That looks real pretty. Real interesting.
It looks so true. Like, it's wrinkling my brain. Of, like, the gun that pulls separate worlds that you're jumping through. I know I've seen people talk about, like, this is a game that kind of is going to showcase the power of the PS5's SSD.
Yep.
Because, like, it really wouldn't be possible to load these entire worlds, you know, instantaneously. Because one of the big pushes that they've done on a couple of these games, one of which we'll get to a little bit later, of no load times.
Yeah.
So that's an example of this that I this is honestly, this is top three of my biggest hype moments of this, of the whole console, of the whole presentation.
Fair. Cause it looked really, really good. And we got to see a lot of gameplay for it, and the gameplay looked super fun.
Mm-hmm. Which the first one, if you haven't played the 2016 one that came out as a kind of a remastering, the first game.
It
is very good. It might be on sale right now for the days of play online, and it's totally worth getting.
Fair enough. All right, the next game we got to see, Project Athia. It's a working title. This is the new game from Square. It looked interesting. We don't know pretty much anything about it.
We do know that it was written by Gary Whitta and a crack team of writers. Gary Whitta, if for those who don't know, wrote Star Wars Rogue One and The Book of Eli.
So yeah, that's a solid list right there. I never did see Book of Eli, but I always heard it was really good.
It is.
Yeah.
It's good. He's also just like a hilarious guy. He does a lot of stuff with Kind of Funny. He's the one that's doing the Animal Crossing talk show that has gotten like weirdly insanely popular on Twitch. But yeah, it looks good. I've seen people say that like a lot of the things that they heard about this, they assumed was going to be Final Fantasy 16, which they might, you know, end up renaming, or if they do like Project Octopath Traveler, not, and then it just releases as Project Athia.
Yep. Or just Athia or whatever. Yeah. All right. The next thing we got to see was Stray. This looked really interesting. Looks like a world where humans have gone extinct. And there's just this cat walking around with these... humans have basically been replaced by AI. Like robots walking around. Doing normal human things. Like there's one in a barber chair and all this other stuff. And there's just this cat chilling. And he's climbing around on stuff. And then it finishes, the cat meows. And that was the end of the trailer.
Someone said it was Death Stranding, but cats.
I could see that. Alright, the next game we got was Returnal. Which this
in a theme of Groundhog Day-esque,
yeah, because
repeating loops.
Wasn't the only one. This game actually looked super pretty, though. Super interesting. Like, every time she wakes up, she crashes, she dies. Wakes up, crashes, dies, and each time it's like it's in a different planet. The planet seems to be infecting her with some stuff, so like she starts seeing portions of her memories and everything. This looks,
yeah, she said that her sanity was slowly being degraded.
Yeah, this looks really interesting.
I couldn't help but think, like, so I saw this and I was like, okay, so it's like a combination of that game we saw at E3, Deathloop, and the game that came out, that it's the Outer World or the Outer Wilds. Whichever one wasn't the Bethesda clone.
Outer Worlds was the Bethesda clone.
Yeah, so the Outer Wilds was the... where you have a certain... like, the universe resets every so... like, however set period of time.
There you go. Alright, the next one we got to see was Destruction All-Stars. This one also looked pretty interesting. It'll be a... oh, Returnal is a PlayStation 5 exclusive, and so is this one. Destruction All-Stars looks a little bit like I don't want to call it Rocket League because it's not, but it looks like Rocket League and a Battle Royale had a baby.
Because it's more of a, I keep wanting to say Deathmatch, and that's not it. Destruction Derby.
Yeah, it's very much a demo derby. And it looks super fun, honestly. Looks like you have a bunch of custom car stuff, bunch of custom character stuff. Go around, be the last man standing, cars break and stuff like that. Once you're out of the car, it looks like you've got some abilities there where you can punch people out or cause, you know, otherwise mayhem on other cars. So, yeah, I don't know. It looks interesting. We don't know, again, a lot of these we do not know a whole lot about outside of the trailer. But
yeah, this one also kind of gave me vibes of, like, it looked almost team-based, which I was immediately out, because it's one of those, like, okay, I'm not gonna, like, there was another one that came out for Xbox not too long ago. It was, like, 3v3, and it was just, like, you know, character-type shooter, MOBA-esque arena game, and I was like, oh, that's, maybe people will get it out of, like, desperation, but... Like, they just need something to play on the PS5, but...
But, yeah. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if this was, like, a... one of those, like, cheaper games that you buy on, like, the PS5 store. Like, not an actual disc release.
Yeah, by next June, it'll be on PS Plus.
Right, that kind of situation where, like, it's a $20 game and they make most of their money in microtransactions. I could absolutely see that. Because it looks like it's going to be a microtransaction-heavy game. Just in appearances and stuff, because they showed off a lot of different, I don't know if they were just special characters, but they showed off a lot of different vehicles and a lot of different characters on the field.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the next one we got to see, this one I actually kind of hyped about. It looked really, really cool.
This was so far up my alley, like, in a way that I didn't expect it to be.
Right? Kena Bridge of Spirits. So, yeah, it's very much got, like, a... an Asian inspiration to it. It looks almost like it's a 3D combat game where you're commanding stuff a la Pikmin and Overlord. These adorable little, like, black creatures.
I would die for these things.
They're weirdly adorable, and it seems like they'll die for you.
Do they will not. And I will see to it.
And you got these cool magical abilities, like with the staff, like it does like some bow stuff. Looks like you got a bunch of different magic that you learn as the game goes on, with some real interesting looking bad guys. Like, the whole game, everything about it looked really cool. Because it looks very anime inspired, but a lot of the culture and stuff like that seems very Chinese. So, I don't know a whole lot about it, but it seems real neat. Seems real neat. The next one we got to see was Goodbye Volcano High. This one's going to hit in 2021. This looks like another one of those, like, narrative-heavy games where it's not so much it's not so much about the gameplay and playing through it as it is telling a story. A la Stranger Than Fiction and that kind of stuff. Not Stranger Than Fiction. What was the name of that game?
I know what you're talking about, and now I've completely blanked on it because I'm so focused on Stranger Than Fiction.
Right? What is that game called?
Oh my god, yeah. Because it's Sam and Chloe.
Stranger Than Fiction is a movie starring Will Ferrell.
Yes, what is,
oh my god.
Life is Strange.
Life is Strange, that's it. Thank you. Okay, I'm so sorry about that. Because as soon as I said it, I was like, nope, that's a Will Ferrell movie. It's not the game I'm thinking of. Anyway, so Goodbye Volcano High. So, yeah, it very much looks to be more narrative-driven about, like, these dinosaur people that are going through the... Honestly, the description made it sound darker than even the video made it sound, because it seemed like it was this bunch of high school kids that are graduating and, you know, they're about to, like, you know, move on with their life and, you know, kind of go through that period of their lives. But then, like, I read the description, a cinematic narrative game that touches on love, friendship, and self-realization in the final days of civilization.
Yeah, because the logo is the asteroid that comes to destroy civilization. So...
Yeah! So, yeah, it's probably everything's about to go away.
I'm not going to play it because I don't want to cry.
Yeah.
And I will.
It very much seems like that kind of game. I might watch the YouTube movie.
Yeah.
And then cry at home alone. All right, the next game we got to see, the new Oddworld game, Oddworld Soulstorm, which this looks super interesting too. 3D platformer heavy game. Looks like there's a bunch of interesting mechanics to it. Like the environments look super cool. The music looks super cool. Everything about it looked really neat. And if I've never personally, like, I've been aware of the Oddworld franchise, but I've never actually played any of them. So I don't know about you.
No, the only one that I played was, like, the offshoot one that was a first-person shooter, and all of the ammo were, like, different critters
that had
different properties. But, yeah, because I'm not super familiar with, like, Abe's Adventure or any of that, but this trailer made it look super interesting, and him finally, like, cutting the stitches from his mouth too was
That was
kind of dark, but cool.
The stitches in general game? Just straight up dark. All right, the next game we got to see was Ghostwire Tokyo's, and one of the new games that Bethesda's paying for. It's also going to be a PlayStation 5 exclusive. And
game that I was talking about was Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, which was neat. This game, honestly, like seeing the trailer and seeing that it was a first person shooter, kind of tanked my excitement for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just like from what we saw at E3, and then they changed their like directive lead. The Nakamura woman announced that she was like not only leaving the game but like left the company, and we never really got a good reason why. Like that just kind of doesn't seem like a great sign.
Mm.
And then that trailer was super like cinematic and weird, and then for it to be a first person shooter is just like, ah. Okay, so that
seems counter to the It seems counter to where they wanted to go with in the first place. Eh, but yeah, it looks pretty. I can say that for it. Looks real pretty. Speaking of games that look real pretty, the next one we got to see was Jet the Far Shore. This one looks like it might be a release or a launch title. And yeah, it looks like something's going bad with Earth, so you've got to explore other planets and find some place new to set up. It also is apparently supposed to be very narrative driven, which I thought was just going to be space exploration. And then I read the little like snippet on it, and yeah, it looks like it's going to be a lot more narrative driven game. A bittersweet interstellar trip to a mythic oceanic planet and a narrative driven action adventure featuring an emotional mix of storytelling and world exploration. So, yeah, it wasn't what I thought it was from the trailer at all. Because I thought we were going to get another No Man's Sky situation. All right, the next game we got to see was... this is something else we got to see at E3. We got to see a little bit more on it. Godfall. What's being described as the looter slasher. Which I'm just... Everything about this I'm in for.
Yeah, this is a... This really hits a lot of... It checks a lot of boxes for me. Super edgelord armor. That hack and slash grind to get better armor so you can kill stronger things to get stronger armor, like that loop type of thing. Yeah, so I'm very, I know Kyle Stevenson, who's been on the network a couple times, whodatninja73 on Twitter, give him a follow. He's super excited for this game as well.
Yeah, everything about this game looks so cool. It's gonna be It's a timed exclusive. It's going to be PlayStation 5 to start with, and as well as Epic Game Store. And then my understanding is that eventually it's going to hit Steam and Xbox, but don't quote me on that because my sources are not 100% reliable on it. But hopefully it'll hit those other platforms eventually for those that either don't plan on getting a PlayStation or don't particularly like using the Epic Game Store for whatever reason. They should be coming elsewhere, but I will almost certainly be getting this at the very least on the Epic Game Store, unless like I have decided to go full spin monster and grab a PS5 and a Series X at the beginning, despite knowing that I'm going to trade in the PlayStation 5 as soon as a special edition comes out.
Jesse, do it.
We'll see. All right. The next thing we got to see was Solar Ash, which honestly, like, I did not get hardly anything from this trailer. It looked pretty.
This is a spiritual successor, sequel esque to Hyper Light Drifter.
I don't know what that is.
Andy Cortez from Kind of Funny. It's like his favorite game of all time.
Oh.
But it's a pretty beloved indie title. I don't know much about it. The name will pop up every once in a while. I'll be like, oh yeah, I keep wanting to check out what that is. Because like anything I've heard about it has been positive. But yeah, I don't know a whole lot about it, but this is following up on that, so I'm sure it's going to be great.
Sure. All right, we got another trailer for Hitman 3, and a release date, or a release window for it anyway, January 2021. Fan of the Hitman franchise, here you go. Hitman 3.
It looked super good.
Yeah, like, apparently this is supposed to be the finale of Agent 47?
I think so. I think that's right.
That's his thing. It's supposed to be the finale of his story. So this is supposed to finish that up. So, there you go. The next game we got to see, Astro's Playroom. This just looks like a fun little game that'll probably be either free with the console or, if not, very cheap. And it looks kind of like a little mini Mario clone with a little adorable robot guy that runs around gathering coins and, you know, doing puzzles and fighting baddies.
It's the non-VR version of Astrobot.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know what Astrobot was a thing, so.
It's a big PSVR. It's like one of the best PSVR games.
Neat. No, today I learned.
That's why it definitely will not be free.
Oh, fair enough. I was thinking it was going to be just like a, you know, a Wii Sports-esque thing, but, you know, just the one game.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, $60 it is. All right. Little Devil Inside was the next one we got to see. And this one looked all sorts of interesting. Let's see. In a Victorian-like era, embark on dangerous missions to gain evidence and findings for your employer, a mysterious mysterious professor. So the art style for this is what really really stuck out to me. Like, the art style is super interesting, and I was thinking it was going to be just this happy little upbeat game, but it very quickly looked to not be that.
Yeah, it's weird. Also, just real quick before we get to, I need to correct myself.
See?
Because I pulled up the trailer for Astro's Playroom, and the description from PlayStation Channel is, Astro and his crew lead you on a magical introduction through PlayStation 5 in this fun platformer that comes preloaded on the PS5.
I was right.
So explore four worlds, each based on the PS5's console components. So it looks like it's going to highlight the different... This is going to be the super gimmicky, oh, look what the DualSense can do.
Oh, God.
But that said, it's super pretty, and I will play a lot of it.
I don't know why you would play more than the first part, but...
I'm going to play all of it, Jesse.
No, fair enough. I mean, yeah, you can play all of it.
Just it looks like, so cool.
I don't know why you'd play it more than once. NBA 2K21 is the next one we got. That one's going to be probably a launch title. I mean, it's 2K. Not really much to say about that.
Wetter the better.
The next one is a weird-looking game. Bug Snacks, coming out in 2020. It had a weirdly, like, catchy little jingle to it.
It really did.
And, like, the entire trailer made it look like this just nice little, like, upbeat, fun time on this island that's inhabited by these little bugs that are, you know, to us, snacks. Like, they're based on snacks. Like, this little strawberry running around with googly eyes. And little cheeseburger and all this other stuff. And these creatures in this on this this island, if they eat these snacks, part of them turns into that snack. Like, homeboy eats a strawberry, a little strawberry bug, and his left arm turns into a strawberry. At the end of the trailer, the mayor comes up and says he tried to hold a hamp with weenie hands, which, you know, the inner 9-year-old in me giggled a whole lot at that, because he has weenie hands. And, yeah, then they run off. And then after all that, like, this happy little upbeat-looking game that I was like, Lindsay will absolutely love this. At the very end of the trailer, you have all the bugs start amalgamating into this monstrous thing that charges the camera, and you're like, okay.
Why? With no music playing. Like,
right.
It's just a weird...
Like, this got dark. What just happened? Like, the catchy little happy jingle stopped and everything?
Yeah, this is the... honestly, this is the trailer I've probably rewatched the most. Both because of the song, and also I'm just trying to figure out what the absolute F is going on.
Yeah. Good
like,
luck.
Like, what type of game is this going to be? Like, I'm fascinated to learn more.
Same. Because even, like, the little, like, the snippet for it. A whimsical, narrative-driven adventure from the creators of Octodad. Investigate the mysterious Snacktooth Island, home of the legendary half-bug, half-snack creatures. Yeah, that doesn't even address, like any of those questions. But, anyway.
A whimsical adventure game.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next thing we got to see was a Demon's Souls remake. Got the trailer for that. Which, I mean, this is the game, like, if you're a big fan of Dark Souls, Demon's Souls is the predecessor. I was super, super hyped for that game when they very first showed it off. I absolutely loved it on PlayStation 3. And I sold a PlayStation 3 to more than a couple of people with that game. Because it was super fun. And then Dark Souls hit, like, it was cross-platform and everything, and it was colossal. And now we're getting a remake of the original Demon's Souls.
And important to note is that this is the game that Blue Point has been working on. They did the Uncharted collection. They did most recently, I think, Shadow of the Colossus, I think was their last game, the remake for that. So they are this is a property that seems to be in extremely good hands. I hate these games. I am very, very bad at them. And I say that having played about 45 minutes of Bloodborne, and that's it. I did buy Dark Souls 3 on my Xbox One because it was on sale for super cheap. And I thought it would be funny to watch me fail at it on stream. But like with this coming out, it makes me like, okay, what if I give this like an honest shot? Like, and actually try to beat either Dark Souls or maybe even Bloodborne.
I hear the Dark Souls remake is the best one to play. So, I don't know, maybe Souls will take that spot. That's what I've heard. I know a lot of people like Dark Souls 3 as well, but Dark Souls Remake is the one that I keep hearing is like, yeah, that's the one you should play. So, anyway. I will probably end up grabbing this, because I never did beat Demon's Souls. I had a lot of fun with it, but I never beat it. So, I'd like to, you know, take another crack at that. The next one we got to see was Deathloop. We've gotten to see a little bit on this before. I think they unveiled it originally at E3, right?
Yeah, because I think it was the Bethesda conference is where we first saw it.
So we actually got to see a lot more about this, like in terms of gameplay and an extended trailer. And it's this actually looks really, really cool. Like, I will almost certainly play this. It looks like it's going to be just an interesting take on a roguelike. And yeah, you can choose how you want to do this. You've got to assassinate a bunch of people that are trying to kill you and try to survive. If you die, you loop back. It's super neat.
Plus, there's another rival assassin that you can play as.
Yeah.
As well, whose sole purpose is to stop you from killing these other people. I'm super... Like, this looks really, really cool. It's from the people who made Dishonored. So if you like the Dishonored games, but if you weren't like super into the setting, this is very grindhousey presentation.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm into it.
Yeah, it looks really neat. It looks really neat. Okay, the next game we got to see was Resident Evil 8 Village, coming out in 2021. So, yeah, it's the next installment in the Resident Evil series. Looks like it'll be in a small village. A bunch of stuff is going down because it's Resident Evil. Though the big twist looks like there's werewolves. Which, cool.
Yeah, this is a game that I'm excited for people to play that I will never touch. There was like a press release on it or something, because they talked about it on Kind of Funny, that this one is going to be more action focused,
greater focus on combat and exploration.
Yeah, you play as, I think it's the same guy from Seven, Ethan Hunt. I think is his name.
I never played Seven, honestly. I always meant to, just never did.
But yeah, so it takes place after, like, years after Seven. And it's just, like, this looks super cool. It looks kind of like it's returning... Ethan Winters. Is that how you play an 8? Did I miss here?
The only name that I remember hearing in 8 was he sees a guy named Chris, who I'm very confident is not Chris Redfield.
Someone on Twitter posted a picture of all of the different Chris Redfields in games, and they're like, these people have no idea what this man looks like.
Oh, that's pretty true. All they know is he's got some big ol' arms.
Yeah, which is all you really need.
It's true. It's true.
It looks very similar to the setting of Resident Evil 4, which is apparently also getting remastered. Much like 2 and 3 have. It's cool. I'm not on board because I am not a fan of this style of game. But I'm happy for the people that are happy.
I mean, if it's actually got werewolves in it, I'll probably be invested in Resident Evil for the first time in a long time.
And apparently the werewolves are pretty a substantial part.
Now
it's not just like a throwaway enemy.
That's good. Now, the real question is, can I become a werewolf? Probably not, in the same way that you couldn't become a zombie in the other games.
Shannon's going to do everything that he can to try to get that werewolf to bite him.
Yeah, he's just going to go out there like, all right, is there an option to just hold my fist out? Yeah, bite it. Bite it. All right. And then Capcom also showed us Pragmata, which we didn't get a whole lot about that.
Yeah, this was like I was expecting it to be like a Kojima Productions type of nonsense, because nothing that we saw made any sense at all.
Yeah, nothing at all. So this character with the spacesuit lands on this planet. He shows off some holograms. This little girl shows up. There's a cat that's seemingly, like, it's got to be a hologram. And then suddenly everything breaks and you're flying through space and then you're on the moon.
With the little girl who's not in a spacesuit, but seems to be fine.
Yeah, because she's doing some weird stuff with her eyes and all this other stuff. I don't know. It was very confusing. They definitely did. You're absolutely right. Take the Kojima approach to a trailer just to get you to go look at it and say, what? Because that's...
And it worked.
It worked. Because the whole time I was watching, I was like, what on earth am I watching? All right. And the last thing. Close out the show here. Horizon 2 Forbidden West.
Inject it into my veins.
Looked very, very pretty. Obviously, it's a continuation of the Horizon story, which hugely popular. It's a phenomenal game that I still haven't played, despite owning for a long time now.
Do it.
I know. I will eventually. I got to stop playing World of Warcraft at some point.
You really do. It's not good for you.
I know, right? Like, between that and Call of Duty, like, that's all I've been playing. But yeah, it looks super pretty. Ace, I'm gonna let you talk about the rest of it, because I don't know. Like, all I did was look at it. It's like I was like somebody at the 4th of July watching the fireworks display.
No, yeah, it looked amazing. It looks like, of course, it follows up off of the events of the first game, where there's kind of, you know, that issue is resolved, and then there's this weird, like, seemingly like an organic menace, like some sort of fungus or disease that's spreading. It looks like this is, of course, with the name Forbidden West, you were moving farther out west from where the first game took place. We got a couple looks at some new robo creatures, including the giant snapping turtle that I want to own and ride to work every day. I want to befriend one of those real bad. It's so pretty. Like, I can't get over how pretty the game looks. And if they can, you know, it wasn't a perfect game. I, of course, had issues with it, especially like inventory management was a big one. But, you know, if some of that stuff was kind of reined in, it looks so good. I honestly, I wasn't surprised that we saw it. I was surprised that it didn't get announced as Holiday 2020, because I would have bet money that this would have been a release title. And I feel like they would have hit that fact hard if it was going to be.
Yeah, because this is definitely, like, as popular as Horizon was, this could easily be a system seller.
Yes.
Easily.
So maybe they're not wanting to overload their launch, because we know we're getting Spider-Man Miles Morales, and you don't want to, you know, kind of cannibalize your own market, because if you launch a system that, depending on who you listen to and which version you end up getting, could go for as high as $600.
I've seen as high as $700 listed.
Oh, that just can't be true.
I really hope it's not. I'm confident that they're going to do another, like, they're going to take a hit. Yeah, and they're gonna keep it at $500.
$600's really, I feel like, the high. Like, they can't beat the PS3.
No.
They can't go higher than the PS3. Although the argument I've seen is, well, if they offer this, you know, the digital version for cheaper, then that kind of allows them to go a little bit higher. So, you know, like, people are guessing like $450 to $600. But I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But you don't want to overload, because if you're spending that much money on a console, maybe even an extra controller, maybe that new headset they showed off, you know, the camera, the charging stand, all of that stuff, the peripheries they showed off, then how much money do you really have for games?
Right. I mean, if you're dropping...
on top of your backwards compatible stuff.
Yeah, let's assume, like, best case scenario, this console is $500. You want to grab it, you want to grab maybe an extra controller or that headset. I mean, like, just between those two, you're looking at close to $600, and then, yeah, you're probably not going to buy more than a game. Maybe two. So, yeah, you're right. Like, definitely, if they know it's going to be, you know, a really, really popular game, which Spider-Man's definitely going to be hugely popular, and so will Horizon, yeah, why release them at the same time? Release the one that's ready
because
to go.
Because I want them. That's why.
No, yeah, they gotta stagger them releases. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but that's what we have for now. We're almost certainly gonna get more information coming up in July. Hopefully we finally get, you know, some prices and stuff. But we'll see. We'll see what we got.
We know we're getting a big Microsoft blowout next month in July.
Yes.
So, wouldn't be surprising if they finally unveiled the price there. As well as, like, their first party lineup, which, boy, they have to, what an act to have to follow, because, man, this presentation was friggin' killer, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, and Xbox's last presentation was solid, and we know in July's we're getting, I mean, it was solid for when we were getting it.
It was fine. They kind of shot themselves in the foot, though, with the expectations, because, you know, they call it a gameplay trailer, and then the gameplay was lacking. Plus, the whole build was all leading to Assassin's Creed. You know, the whole point of that conference was to show off Assassin's Creed.
Right.
And then even that turned out to not be what people wanted.
Yeah, the games, though, we got to see, like, yeah, it was a little bit of a bummer that they were talking about gameplay. We got to see almost no gameplay on anything. But the games themselves, yeah, it was still a solid conference, I think. Marketed poorly, yes, but still a solid conference. And we know in July, at the very least, we're going to get Halo, which my Xbox fanboyism going to shine right on through there. Like, it doesn't matter pretty much what else they give me. Like, if they give me Halo gameplay and it looks real pretty and real nice, I'm probably going to be pretty happy.
If they finally got a Halo game right.
I mean,
the new studio.
Halo 4 was really, really fun. And Halo 5, like, I didn't get into it, but a lot of people really, really liked it, and I always wanted to get more into it. I didn't have anybody to play with, I think has been my problem for a while. But at least with this one, bare minimum, my good buddy, Kevin Schenkelberg, is going to be grabbing Halo and playing it with me, so...
And one of the best things about that is, you know, if you get the PS5 but not the Xbox Series X, if you have Game Pass and you have a Xbox One X, you can still play it.
Yep. So, yeah, Asa will play with us at least a little bit.
Yep.
Because he'll have access to the game. Hopefully it won't be quite as bad with the matchmaking as Call of Duty was, and he will want to continue playing with us.
Whew.
But...
Man, can you imagine if it's as bad? Like, oh man.
Because, yeah, I know Asa did not have any fun at all playing with me and Kevin there towards the end of Asa playing with me and Kevin. So hopefully the Halo is a bit better for that. Alright, well, that's going to do it for us, guys. Sorry for the extra long show, but hopefully you enjoyed our PlayStation 5 coverage. Let us know what you guys think of the PlayStation, this absolute behemoth of a system. And, yeah, let us know on Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. And we'll see you next time.